Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus to each of you. I've enjoyed being here today, enjoyed the inspirations, encouragements, testimonies, all the effort and energy that went into the service so far. Thank you to each of you. Putting a little effort into making Bible stories a little bit real. Appreciate that. Also, I thought of the four of you young ladies who shared your testimony for baptism, your testimony of faith in Christ. Thank the Lord for that. And I thought of the devotional on priorities. And if there's probably a number of different things that we could lift out and say, if you get this one, it'll go a long way in your life. And I think safe to say priorities is one of those. If you can have and maintain clear priorities, as the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and it shall be added unto you. That's talking about priorities. And it's one of the areas that it's pretty easy to get foggy and gray in our hearts and lives and experiences. Something that we wrestle with to keep on track. So thankful for that challenge. If you're able, stand with me and we will just have a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this service, this assembly, and all who are present. Thank you again, Father, for your mercies that are extended to us today and each day of our lives. We are so grateful to you, Father. And as that song expressed that we sang, open the windows and pour out a blessing. Yesterday's blessings have come and gone, and we need another blessing today. And we acknowledge that, we confess that, Father. And even Jesus told us, without him, we can do nothing. So we simply wait before you, Father, and ask for a blessing. Blessing of your Spirit. Blessing of your grace. Blessing of your inspiration. That we might walk worthy of you. Unto all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work. Lord, would you help us in that. And Lord, would you bless this hour as we look into the Scriptures. Would you guide and bless the words that I share and the thoughts and meditations of our hearts as we consider again another aspect of truth as it relates to our lives and as it relates to our church life. So, Father, again, may your kingdom come, may your will be done here in this service, in our lives, even as it is done in heaven. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So the last message that I shared here, wondering if anybody could tell me what the title was. I think it was just 2 weeks ago. Yeah, you're good at it. Let's see if there's anyone else. Are you looking at notes too? Oh, both of them are looking at notes. Somebody isn't looking at their notes.
Be of one mind.
Be of one mind. There you go.
Be read my notes.
No, thank you all. That's a blessing. I appreciate that. Yes, be of the same mind. Scripture there in Romans 12, maybe I'll turn to it. I said that was the last message probably from Romans 12, and I think it is, though today's message is actually springboarding from the last one. So, yes, that verse in Romans 12, verse 16, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And we are springboarding again today from the first part of that verse, be of the same mind, one toward another. Maybe before I begin to open up where I'm intending to go today, we'll just reflect a little bit on what that be of the same mind means. Webster's 1828 speaks of the same, or the definition it gives for mind is intention, purpose, inclination, will, desire. I realize mind can have different ideas, you know. For example, you have your mind. We know our mind, it's kind of our thoughts or the capacity of our thoughts. But maybe I say to you at the end of the service, I'm minded to go home. That's giving an indication what I'm proposing next, perhaps. It's giving an indication of what I'm about to do, perhaps. And that's a little more what we have here in this definition of the mind, inclination. And the word inclination, Webster's gives this definition of the word inclination, a leaning of the mind or will, a disposition more favorable to one thing than another. And this scripture in Romans 8 verse 5 would indicate very well, give a very, very good description of how this word is used here and how we're looking at it. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. It's the way we're leaning. It's our inclination. It's the way we are posturing ourselves. Be of the same mind. So, as we said in the last message, we're talking about this being of the same mind. We talked about earlier in the scripture where it talks about all our different giftings and how we differ. But then, even though we differ in our giftings, and that differing comes out in an great variety of ways, we are called to bring all that together into one mind, one inclination, one leaning. And as we say it, all rowing the same direction. We're pulling together. We're working together. And the scripture doesn't, or God didn't make us all the same so that we would all think the same and do the same and run the same way and work the same way. He actually made us different so that we could, in that diversity, bring it all together and row the same way and pull together. And He calls us to that. Be of the same mind. Be of the same inclination. All pulled together. Now, if we were to begin to think on practical levels of subjects that we face in church life where It's important that we pull together, that we are of the same mind, but the potential very well exists, and it can be very easily, we can easily be of a different mind. When we think about subjects like that, I suspect the list could get fairly long. We would start listing subjects. This morning I have one subject I would like to feel impressed to talk about. And as I was listening to the rest of the service, it only confirmed my impressions. I don't like my title at this point, and we might adjust it at some point. But I simply, at the moment, I have, are we of the same mind? And that still doesn't tell you what I'm talking about. And that's the problem I have with my title. It doesn't indicate what our subject is. But I do want to, and I ask that question, are we of the same mind? I'll keep you in suspense a little bit yet. Let's go to Psalm 78. I'm going to read the first 8 verses of Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So this scripture is obviously speaking of the faith and passing it from one generation to the next, and the next generation passing it to the next, and so on. It's a beautiful scripture, a challenging scripture. And I am confident, I trust that that all of us have that say, we are of one mind and one heart when it comes to the subject of the faith and our children. I trust we are not a bit divided, in our desires that when our children would embrace the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have, I think we have with us today, I don't see him up front, I'd seen him up front here earlier, but a little baby that's here for the first time. So, when was he born? I left my phone down there. Zachary, when was Zachary born? Which date? I brought it up on my phone, but now I don't have my phone with me. We need his mom to tell us. Anyhow. We'll illustrate this a while. So, if somebody comes up with that date, let me know. So I'm going to put in here 20 years. We got a span here of 20 years. June 20, 1944. 19th. Thank you. June 19, 2024 to June 19, 2044. 20-year commitment. I don't know. For some of you, you might not know where I come up with that 20 years. That was a saying Brother Denny Keniston used to say, every time a child is born, it's another 20-year commitment to disciple, to nurture, to bring that child up in the fear of God. Are we of the same mind? I have confidence, as I said, that we are of the same mind, that as each of these 20-year commitments rolls around, that our children would be walking in faith, established in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, having their own personal faith, endeavoring to walk with Him in obedience. And I think I'll just say it for the sake of saying it. It doesn't necessarily mean they're all in the same church you're in. I think we do ourselves a disfavor when we become that, may I say, controlling in our efforts and desires to see our children walking in faith. It's wonderful, and I think, you know, many of our children should, but I don't think we're wise to hone in and determine that we haven't been successful unless they're in our congregation. I hope a lot of them are, but I don't mind if some of them branch out and are a blessing in the kingdom of God somewhere where I didn't, you know, my footprints weren't, you know. So just a little side note, actually. But I trust we're of the same mind regarding the outcome. As this scripture says, that they might set their hope in God. And not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And they might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You know, some of us have that in our histories. We've had grandparents. We have, some of us in our histories have people who did not set their heart right with God. Hopefully our children don't need to say that about us, but that we have set our heart right with God, that we have put our hope in God, that we have endeavored to walk with God. But we own our ancestry. And for some of us, probably that's you can go back and there's faith and faith and faith. And for some, you go back and there's There are situations that aren't that pretty. Those things exist. So, each of us as parents, and interesting enough, I'm over here. My last one has passed the 20-year mark, so I can go on vacation. Not necessarily. But anyhow, there's a span of 20 years here. We agree, as I said, I'm confident that we agree that have a basic general oneness of heart of what we want to see over there. The question that I have for us this morning is, are we one in heart in the processes of getting there? Are we all rowing the same direction? Is it important for us to be one in heart, to be of one mind, to be leaning the same way on a variety of subjects? Is it important? Does it make a difference? Will it make a difference what the outcome is in 20 years if we are one heart or not? If we're pulling together, can we make a difference? Can you or I if you are of one heart with the rest of Oasis Christian Fellowship, this is our context, so this is where we'll make the applications. If you are of one heart, does that make a difference in this general purpose and outcome in 20 years? If you are not of one heart, will that make a difference? Will that have an impact? Is it important? I think we know the answers to that. How much can we differ? How much can we posture ourselves different from one to another and still have the favorable outcome that we want, that we wish to see in the end of that commitment? That 20 years, that is a very important segment of time. And we're sitting here as a fellowship, we're sitting here in kind of an amazing place, I would have to say. It's interesting and amazing because there's us, the older generation, who most of our children are at least this tall. And then there's a sprinkling of a few families in between, and then it's our children who are now married, many of them, and your families. One baby, three, five. I don't know how many the rest of you have. There's a tremendous opportunity before us and before you all. So, my topic. You got your seatbelt on? Homeschool or Christian school. And don't draw any conclusions till I'm finished, all right? Is it an important subject? I don't doubt that we all consider it an important subject. Years back, it was public school or Christian school. And some of our grandfathers went to spend a few days in prison over some of those struggles to be able to, may I say, control the education of their children, to take it out of the hands of the state and take responsibility as the people of God for the education of their children. Some of that was accomplished through being hauled to some of our grandfathers being hauled to prison a few times as they wrestled with the authorities and wanting the privilege to not have to follow the public requirements in schooling. Today we're at a very different place. Some places in the world it's still an issue. In fact, it was the country recently. Was it Romania or I forget where it was? Was it Romania where they just recently had kind of a showdown on schooling? I forget what the I'd glanced at the headlines but didn't read it enough, so it didn't stick. But it was an issue on the table, and I think it actually came out favorably for the Christians, and if I remember right. But anyhow, that aside. So this is a subject that in the history of Oasis, there have been differing opinions on schooling or homeschooling. That's been a reality in the history of Oasis. From the early years of Oasis, when there were families here that are not any longer here, who it was a subject. It was a subject that had even strong feelings on various sides, on both sides perhaps. Or a subject with differing opinions. That's the way I like to say it. Now, I want to say that I do not get the sense that it's a controversy that is majorly existing here. It's not that I've heard things said one way or the other. And I'm not responding to anything that I've heard said of one or the other. And may I say, my goal is not necessarily to promote the one over the other. But I am of a goal and of a mind to call us to one mind and one heart in supporting one another in the decision that each family makes. So that's definitely where I'm wanting to go. Personally, I have appreciated the opportunity to homeschool. And I'm grateful that there are those in the coming generation that are continuing to embrace it. I would be sorely disappointed if it just kind of faded away. I do value it, have appreciated it, and have enjoyed it for our family. I have for myself never considered homeschooling to be a fit for everyone. I have always recognized that for some people, it probably is not the best choice. And I endeavored to respect that at all costs. I endeavored to respect that. I do, however, encourage you not to dismiss the opportunity without prayerful consideration. In other words, don't write off the opportunity to homeschool lightly. Don't just brush it off and say, I don't want to. It's not for me. Think about it seriously as you make your decisions. As we look at this subject and think about it, I'm not sure if I actually put it in my notes. I remember thinking it, but out of these 20 years, the schooling years are 8 to 12 probably for most. So we're looking at I'm going to say somewhere like that. I'm not sure if that's proportioned properly, but we're looking at a considerable segment of those 20 years that are spent in schooling education years. Is homeschooling sustainable? Will it survive? So the Christian school is, and I'm saying this in a general sense, there's obviously diversities from one school to the next, but the Christian school is established and has been there for quite a number of years. It's running. It has, let me just read what I have here. It's running. It has its tracks it's running on, and minimal maintenance is needed for it to function. It's established, it's been there, it's dependable, it has its rails it's running on, it doesn't take extreme effort to continue to maintain it and keep it going. Homeschooling is different. If it will continue, if homeschooling is to continue, each generation needs to own it, needs to value it, and needs to appreciate it. Homeschooling could die in one generation. It could. The Christian school doesn't need my help. Like I said, it's running on its tracks. It's a system that is in place. It's well oiled, a well-oiled machine functioning well. And I realize I'm speaking in generalities. You know, every different school has its different issues but I'm speaking in generalities. This Christian school doesn't need my help. It's well on its way. It's been running for quite a while. It's rolling right along with plenty of momentum. The homeschool, however, does need my help and my support and my encouragement. So the things that I say are going to be to encourage the homeschooling effort, not because I'm against the Christian school, but because the homeschool could die in one generation and they do need my help. So I've looked at it and I feel like I need to give them a boost. So if that appears, if me giving the homeschooling effort a boost appears like I'm kicking against the schooling effort, I'm not. And I want to try to be clear in that. I just see the need to boost the homeschooling effort and support the cause and encourage those who are in it and wishing to continue in it. Like I said, I would be disappointed if the vision died. So is homeschooling sustainable? I'm not necessarily going to directly answer that question. I just kind of ask it to jog our thinking. I'm thankful that it has been sustainable from one generation to the next for various ones. Another question I'd like to just throw out, are we expecting too much of our mothers when we expect them to do the schooling of their children, when they take on that responsibility? Because the burden of homeschooling does fall largely on the mother. Are we putting a greater burden upon her than she can bear? And it's a question. And for some, the answer might be yes, and for others, the answer might be no. For some, it might be more than they can do. For some, yeah, we'll try to branch out on that a bit as we go. I'd like to simply give several points of encouragement here. On the bright side of homeschooling, when your children are at home with you, they can help with the various household duties more readily than they can when they're away at school. So that's the bright side. They can get involved. You can involve them in the household duties so that you don't have to do it all, so that you do have more energy and more focus to give to the actual guiding of their education. You can assign them responsibilities. And I realize everyone has their own way of functioning. And sometimes when we say how we do things and someone else, it doesn't fit for them. And I don't, when I give examples of how we did things, I don't want it to become a stumbling block to someone else. I want it rather to be the potential of yes, maybe that would help. And I'm pretty confident I'm saying this right. Each of our children, including our son, did their own laundry from a fairly young age. They had their day of the week. They were responsible. They took care of their laundry. Your children can do that. If you're educating them at home as part of the homes program, and managing your home, your children can do those kind of things. Even if they need a step stool in front of the washer so that they can get the stuff in it, they can do that. And maybe they fall head first into the washer when they're trying to get the stuff out because they lose their balance and go over center, you know. They'll scream. You can go pull them out by their feet. But it's, you know, there's things like that. They can tidy their own rooms. They can take responsibility that, you know, different children can take a responsibility to vacuum a room or to sweep a floor or to, you know, given responsibility in a given day of the week. Just various things that they can do. You can engage their energies to help carry the load of the home life. And it actually becomes part of their forming their responsible person. And also, I think a mother who is, and all mothers, not just one who is educating her children at home, but mother who is mothering children, should make no apologies for a quiet hour, 1 hour in the house every afternoon. No apologies. Everyone's quiet. Everyone has their thing. They, you know, little ones are on the sofa or in the bed, sleep, take a nap. Older ones have their thing they focus on for that 1 hour. There's no noise. They are quiet. Mom can hoe up in the bedroom or whatever she needs. Take a nap. No apologies. That's just okay. And I think should be done, actually. So just little ways to encourage that that heavy load feeling, because it's real. And I'm not going to exhaust these subjects. I can't even begin to. You know, I don't know, for some of us fathers, we can help with the homeschooling effort. For some of us, it's more difficult. I realize that. I think as fathers, we should try to figure out ways to help. I don't know. I thought about this, and I don't have exact figures, but if you would consider tuition in a Christian school and the cost of it, I think you could probably reduce your work day by about a three-quarter hour every day of the week, because you're not having to pay that tuition, and that would give you that three-quarter hour to invest in your children's education, and you financially would come out pretty near the same place. Just kind of a real quick, loose calculation. I realize you're working for someone, and you tell them, now, I want to start at 7:30 in the morning instead of 6:30 because I want to spend that extra hour educating my children. They might not all appreciate that as much as you would from your perspective. I'm aware of all those things. Just jogging our minds a little bit and thinking, you know, what could we do? If, as fathers, if we do have the vision and burden to see our children schooled at home, what could we do to be involved and to help carry that load to some point? Another effort that is used a lot and is very useful in helping the mothers not have to carry the load alone is, and I just titled it, the co-op approach. And that has a whole host of variations in how that is done, the co-op approach. Simply where mothers help mothers. They form organizations and they work together on various levels in the education of the children. I know there's some families at Living Hope that have some kind of an organization going like that. That is probably the most involving one that I've ever heard of, though I don't know extremely much about it. I just say it to highlight it as an example of what might be done. There's and basically what that does, you know, every one of us, whether we're gentlemen or the women here, we all have our strengths and the things we do well and the subjects we can handle well and can teach well. And we have our areas that we're kind of flat at and we don't do so well. Well, there's maybe another sister that does do well at that. And when you form a co-op, that other person's gift comes in and makes up some of the difference where your gift is weak and your children get strengthened in that area of education by the gift of someone else in the church. And that's a blessing. That can be, you're there to help each other in that way. I would encourage those of you who have an interest and continue to carry the vision for homeschooling as you come upon difficulties and obstacles in challenges. And even those of you who may be considering it but aren't sure because of those difficulties and obstacles. You know, life in general, whatever we face, whatever we want to take on, there are generally difficulties and obstacles to be overcome. And for the person who comes up against something and always turns around and goes a different way because he didn't want to face those difficulties and obstacles, don't generally get too far down any given road. So I want to encourage us, it doesn't really matter where in life we're at. Challenges and difficulties and obstacles do come our way, and we need to creatively engage and figure out ways to conquer those obstacles. And I want to encourage that same spirit with the homeschool effort. Think creatively. Think rather than just stopping short and deciding, not for me. Consider possibilities. Explore possibilities. Dream together as interested parties in homeschooling. Dream together of how you can overcome those obstacles that seem to be in the path of successfully accomplishing the task. And rather than just signing off, explore the possibilities of ways to overcome. So that's just a little bit of encouragement for the homeschool effort. Like I said, they're the ones that seem to need the encouragement. Now, how does this all fit together to be of one heart, of one mind, if we have So, isn't the true nature of being of one heart and of one mind, doesn't that mean we need to argue this out and figure out which one is actually the best and all agree together to do the same one? Isn't that what it means to be a one heart and one soul, one mind, all rowing the same direction? Rose. Scratching his head up here a little bit. Shaking his head. No, I don't think that's what it means. You know, one of the things that homeschool families have done some is they have organized activities for their children to interact. You know, it might be a Tuesday night on a weekly basis or biweekly or however they choose to do it. And they get together for an hour or two and the children have various activities together. There's a kind of a variety of things that have been done over the years in those kind of things. And I think I'm correct that I caught a drift of possible discussion of those kind of activities, organized, you know, whether it's a Saturday, an evening sometime, but organized and involving both the Christian school students and the homeschool students. And making it available for both. So that there doesn't become an us and them so quickly. You know, it's us, we're the schooled ones. It's them, they're the schooled ones. It's us, we're the homeschooled ones, you know. But to draw it together, to give opportunity for interaction, and we have it on Sundays here, fellowship meal Sundays. But I think I like the idea. I like that idea where activities are developed with the plan and the intent that it can involve both sets of children and families. You know, whether it's gym days, track and field days, field trips, you know, there's various things you could do at times where it fits a schedule for both. I realize that, you know, all of us are busy in life, and maybe for the schooled, for those who choose the Christian school, they might feel like, well, we've got our fit. We've got what we need. We don't need this. But I challenge you to think a little broader than that, because I want you to think about this 20 years here, and you're in this church body, and at the end, we're looking for our children to all be in the faith. And to not be too quick to just dismiss those kind of opportunities if they actually would develop and come your way. It might feel unnecessary to you. You might feel like you have what you need. But I would feel that kind of interaction would be healthy in the life of this fellowship. Developing some level of interaction for all. I appreciate that effort, that thought, and would encourage that effort. So, how can we be of one mind, of the same mind, as Romans 12 says about this subject? Can we be of one mind while we choose two different methods of having our children educated? I'd like to try to draw that together and maybe give us, boost our vision in this a bit. Let me say it this way. We can be of one mind while we choose two different methods of schooling. But I do believe we have to be somewhat intentional in some of this. We have to put away the competitive spirit, for one. I would really like to make an appeal that we do that. You know, there's always the temptation to feel like, well, obviously we choose what we choose for reasons, right? You know, the homeschooling families choose homeschooling for reasons. They're not just doing it because they so thoroughly enjoy being busy and spending time with their children. It's got to be more than that, or they wouldn't survive it. And those who are choosing the Christian school are choosing it because they believe there are clear, you could probably list some of the reasons why you feel this is the best choice for your family. And I respect that. And I want to call us, if we want to be of one heart and one mind and be rowing together in this effort, I want to make the appeal to us that we lay down our criticisms of the other, if we have them. That we lay down our strong opinions, if we have them. I have nothing in mind. I'm not referring to anything I heard said or anything. But in order for us to be of one heart and one mind in this subject, we do have to be able to clearly bless and encourage those that made the other choice from what we made. We have to be able. And if we can do that, I believe we can be of one heart and one mind on this subject and do it effectively and have an effective outcome. That we choose to support each other in our choice, and that together we're there for each other. Whether we've chosen this or whether we've chosen this, we are there for each other. We realize that we are not opponents against each other. We're all headed for the same goal. We've chosen a different path for education, but we're all wanting the same end result. And we can have it. I think we can have one heart and one mind rowing the same direction while we have actually chosen different methods of accomplishing that education. And I want to see us and want to encourage us to do that effectively and support each other and bless each other in the effort. And try to do our best to avoid as our children get older, to avoid that segregation in the congregation, where on a Sunday at fellowship meal, the ones that are schooled are together over here, and the ones that are homeschooled are together over here. Let's realize those potentials and work hard to overcome them. Work hard to have a one heart and one spirit. And it obviously does start with us as parents and how we actually view the whole subjects and how we posture them to our children. So, one heart. Are we of the same mind? Again, back to my title. Maybe somebody will have a better title for me after I'm finished. But are we of the same mind regarding that subject? Can we pool our energies together, supporting each other and pulling together for every one of these 20-year commitments that are in our care? That's my encouragement to us. I think we can do it. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Psalm 78:6. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. I think that is all. It is the desire of all of us that our children would know God, not forget Him, but set their hope in Him and keep His commandments. If you're able, kneel with me, and we'll close with prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we come into Your presence with thanksgiving again recognizing that you are the Lord and you're the one who cares about us, each of us here, each of our little ones that you are blessing us with in this congregation. You're the one who cares about us and desire to see us make wise choices as we progress through life. Father, as we've considered this subject this morning, I pray that we as a congregation, and especially now as I think about our young families among us, Father, I pray that we could together as one heart support each other in this subject of education, and where we blend our hearts and our visions, and we don't allow the enemy to bring division among us in these things, Lord. Bless us in that. And thank you. Thank you for all the young parents among us. I pray for them. Pray that you would give them wisdom and continued inspiration and vision for their children. And not only their children, but their children's children. For it will come rather quickly. So Lord, continue to pour out your Spirit day by day upon us, that we might continue to walk in faithfulness to you. Lord, bless each one. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.